We sing in that song, what he did for Jesus, he will do for you. You must have faith that what the Holy Spirit did through Jesus, he can do through every one of us. He may not call you to be a Bible teacher like me. He may not call you to be an evangelist, but we can all be witnesses. He didn't say that we should all be Bible teachers. He didn't say we should all be evangelists or healers or any such thing. But he said, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you shall all be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. So that can happen only if we allow the Holy Spirit first to show us the glory of Jesus in the scriptures and challenge us to be like him and acknowledge our own failure and limitation where we are not like him. I'll give you one or two examples that I've often quoted, and you, those of you who heard me before, will remember I have mentioned these examples before, but I repeat them for the benefit of those who have already heard and perhaps those who have not heard. First of all, an example from Matthew 12. I'm trying to show you the glory of Jesus. When you read a scripture, I'll give you two examples of how we can see the glory of Jesus in the Gospels, beyond what you read there. Matthew 12:22, they brought a demon-possessed person to Jesus. It's an unusual demon-possessed person. He was blind and deaf and dumb. It's a rare case, blind, deaf, and dumb. And Jesus cast out the demon, and he could speak, he could see, and he could hear. And the crowds were absolutely amazed. They said, this must be the Son of David. And those Pharisees were so jealous. When they found the attention of the crowds being taken away from them to this person, Jesus, and they got so upset, they said, no, this is not, he's doing this by the power of Satan. He's the prince of demons. And that's why he has delivered this person. What a crazy idea they had, as if the devil is going around healing those who are sick. He makes people sick. They didn't know that. Anyway, they were actually calling Jesus the devil. Now, contrast this with what we read in Luke 24. That every chapter, every book of the Old Testament portrayed Jesus. That's what Jesus explained to those people going to Emmaus. The Pharisees studied the same 39 books. And when Jesus came into their midst, they didn't see him as the fulfillment of what they read. They said, no, this is the devil. See how they can be complete opposite of the truth. They said, this can't be the Messiah. They were so blind to those 39 books of the Old Testament. But what I wanted to point out to you is, it's a very serious sin to call a servant of God a servant of the devil, or the devil himself. And imagine calling Jesus a devil. What sort of sin is that? We read in the Old Testament when Miriam, Moses' sister, just questioned Moses about one little thing. Why did you marry a non-Jewish woman? He married a non-Jewish woman, you know. Jethro, some guy's daughter when he was in the wilderness. And just for that one question, questioning a servant of God, you know what she got? Leprosy. So what should these people have got who did something worse, saying that Jesus was the prince of devils? You know what they got? Forgiveness. That's the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, when people insult you, you get leprosy. If you insult Elisha for having a bald head, bears come and eat you up. You read that in 2 Kings chapter 2. But in the New Covenant, when you call even the Son of God the devil, no bears eat you up and you don't get leprosy, you get forgiveness. There I see the glory of Jesus. And as I look into that glory, I say, Lord, that's how I want to be. When people call me all types of names, what should I give them? I don't want to pray they'll get leprosy. No. Oh, I want to offer them forgiveness. See, that's what happens to you when you see the glory of Jesus in Scripture and you face a similar situation, and the Holy Spirit comes to help you to do the same as Jesus did in that situation. That's the blessedness of seeing the glory of Jesus in every part of Scripture. Let me give you another example, which also I've quoted many times. Bless me. In John chapter 7, we read of Jesus traveling all the way from Nazareth. No, sorry, from Capernaum. He was living in Capernaum after the age of 30. All the way to Jerusalem. 3 days journey. And it was not his hometown. He came there. He went to the temple and he preached that powerful sermon where he spoke about the gift of the Holy Spirit in John 7, verse 37 to 39. If you thirst, come to me. The Holy Spirit can flow out from you like rivers of living water. And so many wonderful things. And the people who heard it were so blessed. John 7, verse 40, they said, this is certainly the prophet. This is the Messiah. They were so blessed through his ministry. And at the end of that, and he had finished that message in that day, it says here in verse 53, everyone went to his own home. Now don't stop there, go to the next verse. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now why was that? I'm sure so many people there knew that this is not Jesus' hometown. After being blessed so much by his ministry, I'm sure somebody should have said to him, hey, Lord, why don't you come and stay with us tonight? You don't have a home here. What I see there is nobody bothered to invite him to their home. They were just blessed by the message. Yeah, even today I find sometimes people can be like that. They can be so blessed by some preacher's message and they don't even think of what his need may be. It's never happened to me, I'll tell you. Nobody's left me stranded in any new place I've gone. They've always been very considerate wherever I've gone to preach. But Jesus, they left him alone after being so blessed by his ministry. And so, he said, okay, it's not raining. I can go and sleep under the trees in the Mount of Olives. And he went and slept there. Do you think he was tempted like us? The Bible says he was tempted like us. After you serve people and they don't care for you, are you tempted to wonder why in the world are these people so ungrateful? Jesus was tempted also, but he didn't yield to it. He would not yield to that and saying these guys are so ungrateful. No, he wouldn't think thoughts like that. The next morning, listen to this. John 8 verse 2, he came in the morning to the temple and he sat down and began to teach them again. Now, if it was one of today's preachers, he would have begun his sermon like this. Well, last night when I was sleeping under the trees in the Mount of Olives, I felt the Lord speak to me just to give people a hint that none of you guys invited me to your home. Jesus never did anything like that. That's where I see the glory of Jesus. Has somebody ignored me in some situation? Let me act as if he did not ignore me. Has somebody slighted me in some way? Let me act as though he didn't slight me, but he honored me. How wonderful it is to see the glory of Jesus in these little things. Never to draw attention to yourself. In some way, somebody ignored you or despised you or neglected you. Say, no, I don't want to draw attention to myself. Just continue with God's word. Well, I had a wonderful time under the trees, wonderful time of fellowship with God. What have I got to complain about? Thank God nobody invited me to their house. I could spend some time with my father. So these are little examples. If you want to see the glory of Jesus, if you are passionate to see the glory of Jesus in every page of Scripture, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. And he will change you into that likeness. So this is called a ministry. Ministry is not just preaching. Now turn back to where we started, 2 Corinthians 3, 18. We saw 2 Corinthians 4:1. Since we have this ministry, we don't get discouraged. And that ministry is chapter 3, verse 18, to see the glory of Jesus and to become like him. And I want to say to every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters, you can all have this ministry. You may not be able to have my ministry of Bible teaching. God, if God gives you that gift, he'll do it. If God didn't give me the gift, I couldn't do it either. God gives each of us different gifts. But this ministry of looking into the scriptures and seeing the glory of Jesus and being transformed into that likeness is for every one of us. And this is where I told you about discouragement. We can easily get discouraged when we have this longing to become like Christ and we slip up somewhere. Oh, again, I slipped up. I lost my temper a little bit there. Or I was a bit unkind in the way I acted, or or a bit selfish or something like that. When we have a heart set on becoming like Christ, which is what we teach in all our CFC churches, it's very easy to get discouraged. And we must not get discouraged. That's what I'm driving at.